Good afternoon and welcome to another edition of El Paso Prime Time. This particular episode is all about trees and nuts. Stay tuned.
Hi, my name is Cheryl Gehring, and once again, I have a great guest from my own neighborhood, and his name is Joe Atolano. Is that Italian?
I think it has some origins in the Italian.
Okay, well,
yes.
You're like me. My name is Gehring, and it has some origins in Germany as well, except for the grandfather who ran away from home and changed his name to Jones.
There you go.
We don't know where he came from. But anyway, and you are with the Kern Place Association, which everyone knows that's that beautiful place to live.
Right. Kern Place, it's a beautiful neighborhood here in El Paso, one of the oldest neighborhoods, and we're getting ready to celebrate our centennial.
You mean the same time as UTEP?
Yes, the same time as UTEP. If I remember correctly, Kern Place was established in December 5th, 1913.
Wow. So I didn't realize that it was at the same time they were building UTEP, they were also building Kern Place.
Correct. It was four gentlemen that were building Kern Place. It was C.L. Galloway, F.G. Morris, P.E. Kern, and C.O. Coffin.
So they all had their names ending up on so the coffin wasn't where they just took the dead bodies and shoved them over into the arroyo. Okay.
It was actually someone who lived in the neighborhood, yes.
Well, that's really cool. So four guys, and they were developers.
They were developers, and they're the ones who developed the Kern Place neighborhood.
Now, I have seen old pictures of the Kern Place neighborhood back in the day where they actually had this beautiful Kern Place, almost like a little entrance way into it, and it was very— are you showing it to me right now?
Yes,
and
I am.
It was very elaborate. What happened to that?
I'm not sure what happened to that. I know it was taken down, I would say somewhere in the 60s. All the way to the 60s. It was very elaborate, very ornate, and I believe it was on Robinson Street and Kansas Street. Is
wow.
Where that entranceway.
I thought it was on Cincinnati.
No.
Oh, well. I see it here, and it is pretty— – it's amazing that they had quite a metal worker doing that, I think.
Yes, they did.
Yes. Now that you guys are celebrating, what are you doing special for your 100th anniversary at Kern Place Association? What are they doing? Because we know we all love Madeline Park, but what's going on with this celebration?
Well, our initial event to celebrate the centennial is we're going to coordinate the sale of 100 trees with Arbor Day. Arbor Day being April the 29th, and we want to have the sale on April the 27th, which is a Sunday.
Yeah, and isn't Arbor Day, the National Arbor Day, very close to those dates?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Yes.
So it's on Tuesday, actually, after the event that we're going to have.
Okay.
And we're wanting to sell 100 trees to help green up the neighborhood a little bit more.
So they'll be buying these trees for—
they're $30 a piece. They're in 5-gallon containers, and we have four trees available. We have the live oak, we have the red oak, we have the Bradford pear, and we have the
desert willow.
Mm-hmm.
And all these do very well here in this. Well, Bradford pear does very good here. It's not a native, but at least if it's planted in a grassy area where it gets plenty of water, it does fine. But when you put it in rock, it doesn't do so good. But all the other ones are pretty bulletproof here in El Paso.
And that's why those trees were chosen, because they do so well in the area.
Right. Okay, so how does somebody go about wanting to order one of these?
So they can contact me directly at my cell phone number, which is area code 915-799-1913, or they can send the Kern Place Association an email at kernplaceassociation@yahoo.com.
Okay, very good. And they can see how many they want, and then you will send them back, and then you meet them and they send you a check?
Right. We coordinate the payment, so they can either bring the payment directly to me, and they can drop it off in my mail slot at 1222 East Baltimore, or they can just call me and I can go and pick up the check from them.
Sounds like you're going to be busy.
Yes, I am. And we're asking that everybody make out their checks to the Kern Place Association.
Very good. Now, they have to plant them themselves.
Yes, they have to plant them themselves in their own homes, or actually wherever they would like. We would prefer for it to be in the neighborhood, mm-hmm. but they can actually buy one and plant it somewhere else.
Mm-hmm. But they can't plant it in the park.
No, not in the park. That would have to be coordinated with the Parks Department.
Very good. Let's make sure that so people think, oh, I just love to put it in the park. But you will have the place for them to pick it up.
Yes.
So you're going to have a pretty – is it going to be in the park that they're going to pick it up? So you have enough room for these 100 trees for these people?
We have plenty of room for them to come and pick it up April the 27th at Madeline Park from 2 in the afternoon to 4 in the afternoon.
Very good.
And we'll try to have that very well organized for everyone.
Good.
And then this is part of a fundraiser, so we're also raising funds for the Kern Place Association. And these funds are used throughout the year to help beautify the park itself. These funds pay or we supplement the fertilization of the park with the Parks Department. They also pay for the flower beds to make sure that those are maintained. And then it pays for all of the events that happen in Kern Place.
Mm-hmm. And you have quite a slew of those.
Yes, we do. We have two picnics, one in the spring and one in fall. And both of those picnics always entail live music and family-friendly activities such as rock climbing walls, bungee jumps, the slip and slides. And we also have events for the younger kids such as the fishing pond.
Ah, I love that. But you know, Joe, a lot of people consider Madeline Park their park even if they don't live in Kern Place.
And the park is open to everyone in the city of El Paso. Everyone is welcome, not only to the park, but to any of our events. We also host two movies twice a year. One is date night movie, one is family night movie.
And I've seen your two pickup trucks that you put close together and you put the big screen on.
Yes, we do.
And everyone has to bring their own chair.
Everybody brings their own chairs and blankets and their own goodies
and
to eat.
And popcorn.
Yes.
Correct. Well, I know I've seen that. It's pretty cool how you do that.
And we do coordinate sometimes some food with the movies. We've had, when we featured Nacho Libre, we served nachos. We've had hot dogs also for some of the other movies. For a Roman holiday, we actually had gelatos for everybody.
Oh, how cool is that? Yeah. But so this is an event for all of El Paso if they care to come to
Yes, please
Kern.
Join us.
Yes.
Everyone is welcome. Everyone can order a tree. Everyone can buy a tree.
Good. So they can put them throughout El Paso.
Throughout El Paso, yes.
So you're like a little tree hub.
We're hoping to be a tree hub.
Okay. Now, I know that you also have some other events that you do, and one of the big ones that I think of is the Halloween event.
The Halloween event came about because we were trying to create a safety zone for all of the children in El Paso.
I agree with you there.
Kern Place always gets inundated with lots and lots of children during Halloween. Trick-or-treaters usually start about 4:30 in the afternoon.
Yes, they do.
We have a parade around the park, and then they're cut loose, and they just start running around the neighborhood. So we wanted to make sure that they had somewhere safe to be out trick-or-treating. We block off a 10-block radius. This is a major event for us. This is new. It's only been going on for 2 years, but we've had a very positive support from everybody in the community because they really like the fact that it is a safety zone for the kids.
Well, I just live down the street on Baltimore, and I had to hold my breath at times when I would see cars trying to get up through all those crowds of children and mothers and parents, and it got scary.
It did get scary, and that's why we decided to create this event.
The wrong kind of Halloween scary.
The wrong kind of Halloween scary. That's
right.
Correct.
Yes. So that's so how much does that cost you to get city permits and block off all those?
All of the city permits and the barriers and everything end up costing us about, $1,200 just for that single event. Mm-hmm. And all of these funds are paid for through the Kern Place Association, through the association fees. It's $20 a year to be part of the Kern Place Association.
Mm-hmm.
It is open to anyone in the community, not just the residents of Kern Place. And we do fundraisers such as the Arbor Day event to help supplement those funds.
Well, you know, I was working as I'm a landscaper, and I was working last year over there off of Love Road. And there was a very elderly woman who answered the door when I thought I was going to the right house for a landscape consultation. It wasn't the right house. And she wanted to know where I was from. And I said, well, I live over there in Kern Place. And she goes, oh, that's where Mommy and Daddy lived. And I thought, you're 80. So you have been – that has been there a long time. And a lot of people grew up in that area and no longer live in that area. They live in other areas of El Paso, but they all have a fondness for
They all have a fondness for the neighborhood. And we have a lot of new residents, but they're also developing that fondness for the neighborhood.
Well, also I have friends, too, that lived in central El Paso, but they would come over and do like a flag football over at Madeline Park. And when they were kids during the school, you know, and so they also have very fond memories of that as
yes.
well.
Yes, and we still have the flag football in the park. We still have a lot of soccer players in the park. The tennis courts are available to everyone. We have basketball courts, and we have runners from Cathedral and El Paso High come and use the park.
So how long have you lived there, Joe?
I've lived in the neighborhood now for 12 years. Mm-hmm. And actually, my first home was bought on the far west side over there by Franklin High School.
Mm-hmm.
But I drove around the Kern Place neighborhood for years, hoping that someday I would get to live there.
You know, I did too. I used to always take that shortcut over Scenic Drive, and I'd end up in that beautiful place. And I grew up in Los Angeles, actually Orange County. And I remember going to Hollywood and North Hollywood and seeing all those cute little bungalows or over in Whittier. And I wanted to live there, but it was way expensive. So finally, when I came here to El Paso, I realized I've always wanted to live in a neighborhood like that. And here's this neighborhood.
And here's Kern, and it has all that charm, all that character
yes.
of those older neighborhoods.
Now, you know, and Kern also now, of course, when we all first moved there, they used to be the funky Walgreens and the funky, cute little outdated mall. Well, all that's changed now, hasn't
yes,
it?
Yes, all of that has changed. We're definitely becoming a little more modern, but it's a welcome change. The changes at UTEP have been fantastic.
Yes.
You know, all the buildings, all the new buildings here are beautiful, and we really enjoy having UTEP as our neighbor.
Well, give me a little bit about your own background. So are you a plant person? What do you do?
By professional education, I am a registered nurse. I work with BMBV Senior Health Services.
Mm-hmm.
I am their intake manager. But on a personal note, I like cooking. So I also sell Pampered Chef.
Okay.
You can reach me at joe1kchef@outlook.com.
Uh-huh.
Okay, you can order your Pampered Chef from me, or you can ask me to come have a party. I would love to.
Yes.
I've always enjoyed cooking. I always enjoyed sharing recipes with everyone. So.
Wow, that's great. I know I love to cook, too. That's very nice. So going back to Kern Place, I've heard different stories about how Kern got started. One of them being is this used to be an area up on the mountain where several poor people used to live here. Is that correct?
That's what I've heard. And that all of they were bought out, and then it was developed by those four gentlemen that we mentioned earlier.
Yes, okay.
Mr. Galloway, Mr. Morris, Mr. Kern, and Mr. Coffin.
Right.
And the way I understand the story is that Mr. Kern actually never got to see the whole neighborhood developed. He ended up moving away.
Oh, wow.
And never came back to El Paso.
The namesake.
Yes. But however, his name is the one that's associated the most with the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. And so after they started building it, there was quite a few spaces in between each of the houses, wasn't
yes.
there? It wasn't like it is today.
It isn't like it was today. It did take quite a few years for the whole neighborhood to be completely developed.
Mm-hmm.
And you actually still find a few empty lots
mm-hmm.
every now and then.
Mm-hmm. Correct. And it's not a historical community, is it?
No, it's not a historical community. We have brought that up to vote with the neighborhood. We always consider what the neighbors want before any of those types of decisions are made.
Mm-hmm.
And as of right now, the neighbors do not want it to be considered a historical neighborhood.
And why is that, do you think?
I feel that they have they're concerned about all the restrictions when a neighborhood is considered historical.
I agree. I know that over in Manhattan Heights, a woman had a very old home with a steel roof, a steel with plates that looked like ceramic. And, of course, that had rusted out, and she wanted just to put a regular roof on because it was leaking, and it would have cost her tens of thousands of dollars.
Right.
And so that can be a problem there.
So a lot of people who currently live in the neighborhood are concerned with those same issues.
And also, how about the commercial encroachment onto Kern?
And they're trying to limit that as much as possible, but we do embrace some of the storefronts that we have down towards Stanton and Mesa,
mm-hmm.
because it really does make it a walking community.
Mm-hmm.
So we enjoy being able to walk to the neighborhood grocery store and to the restaurants and some of
mm-hmm.
the clubs.
It's truly a very walkable neighborhood.
Yes, it is.
The Cincinnati Entertainment District has also changed a lot of Kern as well.
Yes, it has. It's brought a lot of younger people into the community. We do try to work with that organization as far as to making helping us maintain the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. And you also work really closely with the city of El Paso and the things that they want to do also.
Yes, we do. We're very involved in everything that happens or concerns our neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. So who came up with the idea of the trees, the 100-tree goal?
It was a collaborative effort by Marissa, the president of the association, Sandra, who is an employee here at UTEP, and myself. We came up with this idea. Dr. Maldonado also helped us come up with the idea, and then we started putting it together and saying, yes, we can sell 100 trees.
Yes, at Madeline Park. And you're going to have booths and...
And we're going to have hot dogs and refreshments for everyone.
There you go. I finally pulled that out of you, too.
Yes.
So there's going to be refreshments, something to eat. So after you've been beat up over there at the plant sale trying to... You know, it's like the Macy's Girdle sale. You know, everyone just... You get a plant, you put it behind you, and you're going to get another one, and that goes. Someone steals.
Very reminiscent of the blue light specials.
I love those. I still love the blue light specials. Brings a lot of... memories back. Well, very good, Joe. I'm glad you came, and I hope you're very successful with it, and I'll do everything I can to help you.
Thank you very much. We really appreciate that.
Thank you.
Parents, grandparents, uncles, aunts, cousins, friends, this next segment is all about the number one cancer in young men, 15 to 35. It's testicular cancer, and the information here needs to be passed on, as it just might save a life. And joining us in studio, Jason, Chris, and Matt. They're part of what's known as the Go Nuts Tour. First off, gentlemen, welcome to El Paso Primetime.
Wow, thank you so much.
Yes, thank you for having us. Glad to be here.
Let's talk about the Go Nuts Tour. This is this month of April, two things are being celebrated, Jazz and Testicular Cancer Awareness Month. So let's get into the nuts and bolts, no pun intended, about the Testicular Cancer Foundation.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, my name's Matt, and in 2009, I founded the organization. Right after I was diagnosed with testicular cancer, I was really upset that there wasn't enough information out there. So my goal was to provide education materials in the form of shower cards, kind of old school, a website. We've got educational videos, things like that, to teach men about the importance of self-examination. And the reason why is it's the number one cancer in men, 15 to 35, or the most common cancer in men, 15 to 35 in the U.S. And it's beatable if we can just catch it early. So it's not like having to go get a mammogram where you have to go down and use a machine, or colonoscopy where you get to go and have somebody do that for you. A testicular self-exam can be done by yourself, 60 seconds in the shower. And so that's what we do. We provide that. And I've got these two guys that are biking from San Diego all the way over to Orlando. And along the way, they're just getting to talk and spread the word about how important it is to do self-examination. They're both survivors themselves.
Well, Jason, Chris, tell me about your experiences in testicular cancer awareness. Both of you are survivors.
Yes.
For our listeners who have never had to confront such an ordeal, because it can be an eye-opener. It's like, oh, my gosh, I have something. What do I do? You know, for all three of you, I mean, you manned up and you went and got help.
Absolutely. I mean, when something like that happens, it's a big shock to you. It's not something that you expect, especially at a young age. Like Matt said earlier, there was not a whole lot of information available about testicular cancer. At least I know nobody had ever came to me and talked to me about it. So I had not even thought that that was possible. I didn't know that it was a young man's cancer. So eventually, when I did find a lump on my testicle, it actually took me a while to even figure out that that's a possibility that it was. And then finally when I did and I was diagnosed and stuff like that, I took the appropriate steps. And, you know, afterwards I just said to myself when I came across Matt and Testicular Cancer Foundation that I want to help do whatever I can to raise awareness and make sure that the information gets out there for these guys so that they don't have to go through the kind of thing that I went through.
If you can't tell from his accent, he's from New York.
Yeah. Do you find it surprising that guys still don't understand that they don't know that they can be hit with this at just about any time?
Yeah. Jason here. For myself, I never actually found anything on the testicle itself. The only reason that I had gone to the doctor was because I was having severe back pain for about 6 months prior to my diagnosis. I had actually been hospitalized because my white blood count was very high when they were doing just a routine blood test and then put me in the hospital. So I was 30 years old when I got diagnosed with stage 3 testicular cancer that had spread into my lungs, my liver, and my kidneys. And, man, it was a slap in the face. I had no idea that I needed to be checking myself for testicular cancer. I had no idea that it was the number one cancer or the most common cancer in men 15 to 35. So it was just a real big shock to me. And similar to Chris, after I found the Testicular Cancer Foundation, you know, I really wanted to go out there and help to educate other young men and spread awareness about testicular cancer because it is a very survivable disease, especially if you can get it diagnosed early.
Well, you were diagnosed at stage 3. Matt, what stage?
I was stage 1.
Stage 1.
And I was also diagnosed in stage 3.
Stage 3.
Yes.
And yet here you sit talking about it, and you're riding from San Diego to Orlando to talk about it.
Yeah, and it's not just that age range. I mean, there's people in their 70s who get testicular cancer.
Oh, sure.
So it's not something that we want to tell folks, don't, you know, quit at 35, you know, thinking about it. But, you know, it's one of those things that's very important that we educate our children at a young age. Something that we've missed is the fact that we need to teach 12, 13-year-old boys what's down there and what's going on down there, and to have an open and honest conversation at a young age, allowing them as they get older to have an open, honest conversation with their parents or girlfriend or wife or whoever it is, it changes the way men's health is. And if we can do that just by starting by doing a self-examination once a month, that's a big deal.
You know, how I learned about testicular cancer and how it could be beat was my favorite player was John Kruk.
Mm. Yeah.
And when he went public and said, hey, man, I've got this and I want to pull myself out of everything and I'm going to get myself treated, I thought, holy cow, man. In life, I guess you don't think about it unless you teach somebody the importance of making sure you check yourself.
Yeah, and there's still a stigma. I mean, there's still a – we're talking about testicles. I mean, we were on New Mexico State University's campus today, and as you're talking to all these young guys walking by – 50% of them probably laugh and they kind of joke it off. But you never know if that person could one day get diagnosed with this disease. So it's so important for us to make it serious at the same time. It is, you know, the Go Nuts Tour is a funny name, but we're starting off in a funny way with a very serious mission and a very serious cause.
Oh, absolutely. There here in town is a place called the Rio Grande Cancer Foundation. And they try to teach about anything and everything that has to do with cancers. And one of the things that I remember talking to the executive director about last year was how difficult it was in this community to talk about testicular cancer because it's a cultural thing.
Exactly. And speaking of the cultural thing, it's you know, part of the American society that parents are talking to their daughters when they're in their early teens about how they need to be taking care of themselves. Women are much more likely to go in for an annual evaluation to go see their OB-GYN. Men don't do that. And that's one of the things that we're trying to help change is to remind young men that it's okay to go talk to the doctor. You don't have to go to the doctor only when you're sick. You know, just really trying to encourage them to go in for those annual evaluations and to be responsible for their own health. Because, you know, as Matt stated earlier, this is, you know, it's one of the easiest things that you can do.
Right.
You don't have to go in and have an embarrassing conversation with the doctor or get some weird test done. It's a monthly self-exam in the shower all by yourself. And if you notice anything different than it was last month, then you go see the doctor.
Quite frankly, since you, technically you're supposed to be showering every day, you can check yourself every day. So you'll see the progression. You'll feel the progression. And if there's something that changed from yesterday to today, and then the next day it's not feeling like it's supposed to, that's the ticket where you say, oh, you know what? I got to go.
Yeah.
Got to check myself.
It'd be great. I mean, you know, the biggest thing is that we just want to make sure parents know how important it is to start this conversation at a young age and how important it is to know that they didn't miss out on anything, that, you know, they didn't. They're not being bad parent and not knowing that this is something they need to talk about.
Right.
But know that we're trying to make that change, to understand that it is okay to talk about this and to not have the parent feel as if they missed something after the fact, because that's really hard on them.
So you guys, as you ride along and talk to people, is there a general consensus of, okay, I'm going to do it, and you walk away thinking that one's not going to do it, that one will?
Yeah, I would say that Jason and I, as we've been traveling across the country now on the bikes, we've stopped in for lunch here or there. We've ran into some young men and decided to talk to them and hand them some brochures and things like that. And you could usually tell the ones that take it seriously as opposed to the ones that don't. We try to make them all take it seriously, but, you know, to not be scared either, right. Just to understand that, hey, you know, you should be doing this. It could be very important to your health. It's a good habit to have. And that especially men in that age group, the main group, 15 to 35, all guys in that age group, they generally have that Superman complex where nothing's going to hurt them and they don't need to go to the doctor.
Right.
And I just want to make it so that it changes so that they understand it's okay to go to the doctor. Going to the doctor does not mean that you're weak in any way. It just means that you're human. You're human. You get sick. You get injured. It's okay to go to the doctor. And I think that's just a really important message to spread is that. But, I mean, we've ran into a lot of interesting young guys, and they all they seem to respond pretty well to it. We hand them the stuff. They can look it over later. Some of them laugh it off, and most of them are pretty good about it. And I feel like we're really reaching out to some people, and that was the goal of this whole trip, and I hope we can continue to do that, you know, throughout it.
On another level, how did you guys train in order to be able to do this trip on bike? I mean, there's got to be a way where you get the wind in your sails, if you will, to be able to do this kind of a thing.
I'll start with that. You know, and I'm not riding, but I was on these guys talking to them daily, and I think it's very interesting to think about. Well, Chris is from Brooklyn. New York,
right.
And if you guys know, it's been a really crazy winter. So if you can imagine, I think it even snowed yesterday.
Yes, it
okay?
did.
And so if you could think about it, he has to get out on a bike and ride average of 70 miles a day, and this guy probably only got out how many times, Chris?
Not a lot. A handful of times through the winter I've been able to get out.
Because it was snowing, so there was really no training happening on that side, and we were really worried about it. But, man, he's been a beast. He's gotten out here. Did 124 miles yesterday,
right.
Chris did. Jason, on the other hand, is an avid biker and lives in Lubbock, Texas. And he gets to ride to work every day on his bike, and he's always been into all this biking things. And so he's been training they have a lot of weight on their bikes too. They've got camping gear. They've got, kitchen sets. They've got their water. I mean, their bike is gigantic.
Right.
It's like a moving RV. And it's pretty interesting watching these guys. They trained by taking the bike out and giving a few miles of feeling what it felt like having a full heavy bike. But I mean, they could tell you now, but I just want to give you from a perspective of another person. These guys are beasts, and we're really proud of them for getting out there and doing that.
Yeah, and thank you from the bottom of my heart. Thank you guys very much for what you're doing in order to really illuminate testicular cancer and the importance of checking yourself, you know, every month. For those who want to contribute to the cause, where do they go?
TCancer.org /donate if you want to get there quickly. If not, just TCancer.org is a great place to do it. I just want to make sure I'm thanking, you know, Trans Expedites here in El Paso, and they're one of our biggest sponsors. They're shipping all this stuff for them, shipping their bikes, they're shipping everything for them. I just want to say thank you to them because it's right here locally in El Paso. It's a big sponsor of ours.
Cool deal. Well, guys, thank you again so much for all you do, for all of the information. It obviously, yeah, there's a tongue-in-cheek sort of a thing with the name Go Nuts, but, you know, the message behind it all is so very clear. You've got to check yourself because life is so special.
Absolutely. And also, just so everybody knows, we give these shower cards and brochures for free online. If you just go to tcancer.org and you sign up for a free one, we'll get it sent out to you here in El Paso. Thanks so much for your time.
Full interview versions are up on our website at ktep.org. Thanks for listening to El Paso Primetime.